Chevy.
Get ready to go into business for yourself. The Franchise Academy Radio Show with your host and small business and franchise expert, Tom Skarda.
Hey, good evening, everybody. This is Tom Skarda, live from Long Island, as we like to say here. Talking about franchising, small business, what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly out there in business. And things are looking up these days in business, and you know, stock market's looking good, and businesses are ramping up and hiring more people, and you know, don't want to. I don't ever like to get political. My wife always yells at me, but you know, things are going well right now, and a lot of people are calling me about franchises, and we want to talk a lot about really how to evaluate franchises, what's good, what's bad, what to look for, the pitfalls. I'm going to lay all that out, and have a special guest tonight, too. We have Mike Gould from Houndstown, USA, which is right in the middle of one of the best markets you could be in, which is pet care. And so this is an exciting show for me because I kind of like dogs since I have two. And and we're going to have probably a lot more if I leave it up to Gina. She's a real dog lover, and we like cats too. So we don't want to leave out cats. We don't want to be politically incorrect. So we like all animals. But we're gonna talk to Mike about the pet industry, and Jackie's here too from Houndstown, and we're gonna pick her brain a little bit about what they're looking for in a great franchise owner, what that means. And we're going to talk, last week I was started to talk about the franchise disclosure document, which is really an important document to understand. And if you were listening to the previous show with David, I was talking about the fact that, you know, anybody could call themselves a franchise, but you're not a real franchise until you have a franchise disclosure document and you're registered with the Federal Trade Commission. And in that document, there's 23 different items that make the that make the company totally transparent, and that is really something unique to an investment. Investments have you know, stock portfolios and stuff like that you could look at, prospectus on the business, but in a franchise they have to tell you if there's any bankruptcy in their history, if there's litigation against them, or if they perpetrated any litigation out there. So there's a lot of information in that franchise disclosure document, and a lot of people get scared by it because when you get it, it's like 200 pages thick a lot of times, and the older the company, the bigger the document, the more franchisees are listed in there and everything. So I want to tell you that the franchise disclosure document, or FDD for short, is your best friend. It's going to tell you everything you need to know about that franchise and about that investment. And I have all sorts of hints and tips on my website, including videos on how to read a franchise disclosure document. That's the franchiseacademy.com. Or you can go to the Franchise Radio Show, which will bring you right to my website as well. You know, everything is interconnected these days on the internet. So we're also on Facebook Live. And if you found me on Facebook, it's Tom Skarda on Facebook, and you can see us live in the studio having some fun here and trying to stay dry and warm in between the Long Island rain we have tonight. But I want to talk to Mike and Jackie about Houndstown, and they're in the studio with me, so this is exciting. Good evening, you guys.
Hi, it's Tom.
You too. Hey, Tom.
Thanks for having us, and congratulations on your show, and we're excited for you, and to discuss our business with you tonight.
Yeah, this is fantastic. I love, and thank you for that. And Houndstown has their own radio show on Wednesday nights on this very station. Mm-hmm. And they also have a charity, which I want to get very into tonight. I'm very excited about that. So Houndstown, it is a doggy daycare, right? Right.
Yep. We like to kind of characterize it as a full-service pet care facility. So, and one of the things we like to highlight is we kind of, people with a very busy lifestyle nowadays, working 12 hours a day, two jobs to make ends meet, we kind of like to say we make pet ownership possible. So if you have a dog, in fact, our demographics is people on Long Island specifically can't afford necessarily to have children in their 20s and 30s anymore because it's the expense of living on Long Island. Oh, so people have dogs or pets, and they need to care for them properly. So we make that happen by offering daycare, fully interactive daycare, and boarding and grooming. So we do everything. We have a pet taxi for those people that are in a bind and they need us. Yeah, so it's pretty exciting for us. It's a big industry, as you know. What is it, Jackie? $60 billion.
$60 billion a year.
Industry, yeah.
And growing very rapidly.
Right. We were talking offline before about how, 20 years ago people had dogs, but that was it. You had a dog, you had a dog bowl, you had a dog house.
And he wasn't even allowed in the house.
Right. Now you have Halloween costumes.
Oh, yeah. Well, we laugh as dogs evolved and manipulated humans. As you said, your grandparents or great-grandparents had a dog in the backyard. So he worked his way from the backyard onto the porch, into the house, and now he's in your beds or on our couches watching Dr. Phil with us. So so it's funny how they, in the last 100 years, how the dog has, how far they've come and assimilated into our human world.
Yeah. And I think it has also something to do with the celebrities. I'm not big on pop culture, but I think people like, Paris Hilton and those kind of folks have these toy dogs.
These designer dogs.
Like it made it cool to have like a dog.
It's like
an accessory.
Yeah. Frankly, I don't know what the phenomena is that made this such a dramatic change since the 60s or 70s or 80s, but it's phenomenal. There's dog bakeries, you name it, and Jackie sees all these different aspects of what were we talking about before about what people bark mitzvahs or something.
Oh yes, we had a customer yesterday who called and asked if we could throw their dog a bark mitzvah, which is essentially a bar mitzvah for a dog.
Right.
It celebrates the dog's coming of age. And I said, okay, I've never heard of that, but we are up for anything. So
yeah, that was a new
we'll look
one
that on. Up. We'll go to the Google and look that up.
That is amazing. Wow. I'm just thinking about the business potential behind that.
Yes. And even just over the past 5 years, I've seen a huge increase in people wanting to celebrate different milestones in their dogs' lives. So birthdays, we throw a lot of birthday parties for dogs. We throw Halloween parties, Valentine's Day dances, and fun themed parties that are not necessarily for the dogs, but they're for the humans and for the customers.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that. Do you think it's really about the dog or the dog owner that do those kinds
of... Oh, this is really unfortunate. It's something we call anthropomorphism, where you humanize dogs. Humans, you see dogs as human beings, and they treat dogs like human beings. So it's great for what we do. But the truth of the matter is, when dogs come to our facilities, what they really want to do is sniff each other's butts, jump, hump, and dump. That's what I kind of... And they run around, and they just have a blast. And that's really all they care about. They don't really care about the aesthetics or anything else. They just want to have fun as a dog. Dogs being pack animals have the freedom to interact in a very natural pack environment. And that's what we provide for the dogs.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It's very kind of insightful, I guess. So that begs the question in my mind, Mike. How did you, dream this up? I mean, how did this happen?
Well, it's funny. If you would have asked me, so I was a lieutenant in the police department. I ran the canine unit for the Nassau County Police Department. Uh-huh. And neighbors would come up to me because of my experience, I guess, with the police department canine unit. And they'd say, hey, Mike, we're going away. Will you take care of our dog? And I looked at them like, no, I'm not a dog sitter. But they trusted me. And trust is a big part of our business. So they trusted the fact that I ran a canine unit. So therefore, they said, look, you're the guy we want to watch our dog when we go away this holiday. Right. And of course, I didn't do that. But I said, wow, there might be some more people that there was definitely a void and a need for that kind of service, an interactive environment for dogs.
Wow. So are you still working with the police department?
I do. I work for the police department. I still train law enforcement, and I do other things. I testify in court on behalf of the police departments, et cetera, with the use of the police canines. But not my full-time dedication is to the franchise right now.
Oh, great. And so when you Well, when did you start Houndstown? When did that happen?
Our first facility opened in 2001, and just to mention, you know, you talk about a business model. Since 2001, we have experienced double-digit growth every year through the recession, through any economic downfall that we've had, and that I can speak on all of our franchises. Every year, including this year, we have double-digit growth in revenue. Every month that goes by, it's truly amazing to me. I'd like to say it's part of my genius, but it's not. I have no.
It's a proven statistic, actually. The pet care industry is recession resistant.
Right.
So. You know, I don't know that many industries that are that and that can be claimed to be that, but for some reason, the pet care industry has proven to be that.
Yeah, and it's not like there's one on every corner, one of these pet sitting things. And I read a statistic recently about how many families own dogs in America.
I think it's like 70 million or something 75% of households have a dog, and the statistics go up like exponentially every year. Yeah. So
I go by the statistic of how much dog poop a dog produces, and that's about 300 to 500 pounds of dog poop a year. So for us, dog poop is gold. So
it's like little mounds of gold.
Right.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
But it's something that's, you know, to Jackie's point, it's not going away. It's recession resistant.
Right. No.
You know, people have these dogs in their homes. They're not going to let them kind of go away and you know, get sick and know, they're going to take care of them. They're going to feed them. Right. You know, it's all part of the responsibility. And then every once in a while, you want to get away and you're just not going to take your dog with you. So what are you going
to
do?
Well, even working people is a large, you know, on that point. But just to add another part to that, it's also technologically resistant. There's no technology in the near future that's going to replace our services, as you know, unless there's dog robots.
Hopefully we'll be dead by then.
Right.
By the time they invent a robot that can take care of a dog.
You know, but a lot of franchises, I think, or businesses in general, if it's technical, you know, Blockbuster Videos, that was a great idea, but they just don't exist anymore. So we're resistant to almost anything technologically driven, because nothing can be replaced, the human in this case.
You know, and I talk about that in my book, Franchise Savvy, that, you know, if you could envision it like on the Jetsons, you know, you shouldn't probably get into it because it's going to be replaced.
It'll be a reality. Yeah,
yeah, right. So, and that's what we're seeing. So, you know, now I'm going to stump myself. The Jetsons dog's name was...
Oh.
Trivia for you. I can't remember.
I forget.
Hey, Gina, do you know the Jetsons dog's name?
Let's Google.
I'm going to say it.
Let's.
It's like Robo. Astro?
Astro!
Wow, you pulled it off.
Pulled it off.
Nice.
We almost had to go on the line.
Rick, George.
Yeah, so, you know, even Astro needed to be walked and, you know, all that stuff. And it was on a treadmill that they use.
Oh, that's funny.
Correctly.
That's right. You're right. They're right, Tom.
Yeah. So, you know, this stuff is not going away. And that's what I love in a great business, because people say to me all the time, and David just asked me a little while ago, what's the hot franchise out there? And there's nothing really hot. It depends on the person and how they want to spend their day. Now, if you're the kind of person that loves animals but has a real business sense and is able to hire a couple of employees to help you, a Houndstown franchise sounds like it could be a good idea. What do you think?
Oh, certainly. And you know the old saying, if you enjoy what you're doing, you never work a day in your life. And I can honestly say, with my experience work, I had the good fortune to work with animals for the last 35 years of my life. And whether that was in law enforcement or whatever application. And that's truly, you know, every day I wake up and I appreciate and I'm grateful for the business. And it's not like work for us. We have a passion for what we do. And I don't think that would be true of another business. If I owned a Dunkin' Donuts, making coffee, I don't know if I'd have the same passion for making donuts as I do for caring for the 600,000 dogs we've had as clients over the years. So it's a very rewarding, it's an emotional business. It has a lot of aspects to it.
Yeah, a lot more than I realized. And you're right about that. You know, as you're sitting here drinking coffee, there's more passion around dogs. Is that's for real. I mean, there's nothing like it, and even like when I talk to my clients, I also always ask them if they have pets, and people get real emotional. A lot of times they get really into it,
Yeah, it's funny if you at a dinner party or anywhere at any place, invariably conversations go to people's dogs almost universally. It's almost like a universal connection we have with people. So everybody either has a dog, knows somebody with a dog. We're talking earlier about your dogs that you have. It's just a natural topic.
Right.
That's kind of universal.
It is universal, and it's funny because even, you know, I grew up without a dog. My mom was deathly afraid of dogs, and it was because of her own behavior around dogs. She feared them. They knew it. They sensed it. You could probably talk to this. Mm-hmm. And then when she explains that when she was a kid, you know, in, growing up in Brooklyn, they hung their clothes out on a line to dry. The dog would go after her clothes only and rip them off the line.
Right.
And now, you know, we have dogs, so she comes over. And she's still a little bit afraid of the dogs, even though they're too little, you know, a little Shih Tzu and a little Maltese. But what she does, her contribution is she brings coupons for dog food.
So that's nice.
So grandma comes over with, coupons for dog
food. It's not dog food I use, but yeah.
All right, let's not
gesture's nice.
It's very sweet.
It's a thought that counts.
No, she's getting used to them now. But for a long time, she was afraid to even walk into the house.
Yeah.
But
no,
Mike, the dogs could sense...
Yeah, they can.
Oh,
certainly, and vice versa. So when we deal with people with PTSD or anxiety disorders, whatever those are, dogs are therapeutic in the fact that you pet them and they make you feel good. This is a scientifically proven fact that by just touching and petting an animal, different receptors in your brain, it relaxes you. So that's a scientific fact. And the other way around, if you're very nervous around dogs, that gets transmitted to the dog, that anxiety, and they get a little skittish. So it's a funny kind of connection that we can have with dogs that could either be very good or very bad.
Yeah, and that's something that people have to understand, that there are no bad dogs. There might be bad dog owners.
Completely. Mm-hmm. And it's not, they're well-intentioned, but even our best clients, they're well-intentioned. And, you know, financially, they'll run to Petco and buy matching collars and beds and Tempur-Pedic beds for the dog. But they very rarely understand, most humans don't understand the working of the dog brain, the mammalian brain, the animal brain.
Right.
And that's what makes usually the confusion and all the incidents. As you said, there is no, dogs are dogs, just like children are children. There's no bad children. So if you see 2-year-old children playing in Afghanistan, in China, or the United States, they don't have any racism. They have no cultural problems. They're just playing. They play tag. They play just like every child throughout the world. So dogs are very similar that way. It's how we socialize them beyond that creates the problem.
That is the problem. Parents are always the problem, whether it's dog parents or
human
parents.
I know,
no,
that's
completely.
True.
I guess I still can blame my mother. No,
yeah, well, you can blame her. Whether it's true or not, it's easy to blame them.
That's funny.
And now I got my kids blaming me. So
of course, it goes full circle.
It's an endless cycle.
Yeah,
your dogs probably blame you too. They just can't tell you.
Oh, my dogs, they look at me and they're like, are you stupid?
Get the coupons.
Yeah, right. Funny. I don't want to change the subject, but Gina, I wanted to ask if there's anybody out there on Facebook Live that's watching, if there's a shout out that you could give.
Yeah, Sherry Sieber's on. Say hi to Sherry.
Hey, Sherry. Hey, Sherry.
Jimmy's on.
Hey, Jimmy, how are you? And I just want to, real quickly, Sherry, I'm talking with Mike from Houndstown, USA, and we were just talking about your firm, Fran Fund, that funds franchises all over the United States on a daily basis. That's all Fran Fund does. And so I'm going to have Mike and Jackie from Houndstown call you, Sherry. So,
yes.
We're looking forward to that connection. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, we need funding for franchises.
Yes,
all
money's
over the
always
United
good.
States.
Money's good.
Yeah, money is a good thing.
We like dogs. We like money. We like dogs that produce money.
Yes. Yes, we do.
That's funny stuff. So you've been with Houndstown since 2001-ish, right? And so you're franchised out, you know, a good portion of Long Island, it sounds like, and you're expanding. Any target markets that you guys are looking for specifically?
Well, we're licensed in, I guess, I don't know the amount of states, Jackie, you could speak to that, but we're looking to expand to the net. Almost any area of the country that I could see that has a certain demographic, Nashville, Memphis, Tampa, areas in Florida, We know kind of the demographics we're looking for, the population density, and it's really, we have no real competitors in this market. I mean, you know, there are very few competitors, and we do something that I think is different, and we prove that here on Long Island. We have five locations. What do we have here? Four or five locations. I get confused. I'm old and it's late. Yeah. But the bottom line is, you know, and something that you spoke about earlier, which I find fascinating and what I like about franchising, is this FDD. It's transparent. So, and it's really geared to the franchisee who's buying it. So, and I like that. I want to sleep at night knowing that people that get involved with our family, because that's the way I look at franchising, is you're entering a family, dysfunctional as it may be, it's a family. And the franchise disclosure document is at the core of our, you know, it's like a prenuptial agreement.
Yeah.
I'd like to call it that. But yeah, so I liked everything you said.
I'm going to steal that line. That's a good one.
That is a good one. And it's proven to be true.
Yeah.
Prenup, yeah. So this is good. We're going to take a break. Got to, you know, pay the bills, as they say. Someday, maybe I'll be paid as much as Howard Stern to do on-air breaks, but stay tuned. We'll be back with Mike and Jackie from Houndstown, USA, and some more franchise information. This is Tom Skarda, and we're on Long Island News Radio and 103.9 FM.
Take this job and shove it.
And now back to the Franchise Academy Radio Show with your host and small business and franchise expert, Tom Skarda.
Hey, welcome back to the Franchise Radio Show. And we're here with Mike and Jackie from Houndstown, USA, which is a doggy daycare franchise expanding nationally. And we're going to talk a little bit about what they do and also a charity that they have, Houndstown USA. But it's really interesting because the revenue in the pet care industry is $62 billion in 2016, and it's projected to go even higher than that for 2017. Majority of households in the United States have at least one dog. Actually, I forget the number. One and a half dogs per house.
I like the half a dog.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we have a great picture for half a dog, actually. Yeah,
I was taking a panoramic of my kitchen, and my dog ran through the picture, and it's just his head with a tail and two legs. It's the weirdest picture.
He's so the half a dog.
That's the half a dog they're talking about, and that's statistic.
You're going to have to put that up on Facebook so everybody can see it.
Yeah, that's a good visual.
Oh, it's crazy visual. But you know, Americans love their dogs more now than ever. It's become a pop culture phenomenon with, you know, these designer disco dogs is what I call them. And people dress up their dogs, have birthday parties for their dogs. And this is something that's become big with the doggy daycare set. So, we were on vacation with Gina's cousin in Vegas. And she lives in Vegas, and she would put her dog in the doggy daycare during the day while we went out and went shopping and sightseeing in Vegas. I mean, this is something that people are doing. Mm-hmm. For some people, it may not be every day. Sometimes it might be just to give the dogs a break and, you know, have them play once or twice a week while they just go to work. You know, it's like an amazing thing. So I want to ask you, Mike, that we were talking about the charity that you guys do. So what is the charity about with Houndstown USA?
Right. So, you know, we talk about always giving back, right? If we're, you know, we have a certain level of success in what we do, and we're very grateful for that. And, you know, dogs are suffering in shelters, et cetera. So Houndstown Charities has a human component to it. So our tagline is rehabilitating humans through animals. Mm-hmm. So we see the need for dogs that are suffering in shelters. Mm-hmm. And there's people suffering, whether they're homebound veterans or even senior citizens, anybody who's suffering, maybe they just, it's for whatever social circumstances they're in, right. And dogs in shelters are in a similar situation. So we try to identify dogs that are usually at high risk of euthanization. You know, shelters up here call them red dogs. So they have behavioral issues that they fall through the cracks, and they are getting ready to be put to sleep. And we have the ability, Houndstown Charities has the ability of taking these dogs, bringing them into our facility, let them be dogs, and analyze what their issues are. And it's shocking sometimes. One of the most recent dogs we brought into it was in a kennel for 7 years, and wow. He was deemed very aggressive. He was very aggressive. People couldn't go near him. We took him into our program, and we found out within 24 hours that the dog was totally deaf. So when you think about it, how often do you, vets don't really, you know, when was the last time your dog got a hearing test? They don't really. They check their heartbeat, et cetera, their gums, et cetera. But to make a long story short, once we identified the fact that the dog was completely deaf, we were able to interact with him in a way that you would a deaf child, for example. You can't go running around screaming and yelling and moving your hands. You would scare somebody that wasn't able to hear you. But anyway, that's an example.
Wow.
He was a red dog. Nobody could go near him. He's in our program now. He's probably the best dog you'll ever have because he doesn't hear the doorbell ring. He doesn't hear the refrigerator open. And he's really an amazing dog. So that's an example of the dogs that we have. We didn't really have to, I'd be lying to say we rehabilitated, and we just realized he was deaf.
Wow.
So it's kind of, and it's very obviously emotional for us, and it's very rewarding for us.
Sure. That's amazing. Tell me about the thing you're doing with inmates.
Well, what we're trying to do now is it's called Handcuffs to Healing, where we're going to try to place inmates and teach them life skills, social skills, work skills, develop empathy by using dogs in the shelter. So that's a program that we're going to be unveiling in the very near future. The nuts and bolts of it haven't been really planned out, but that's something we're really excited about. It's called Handcuffs to Healing. It's going to involve inmates, which find themselves in a bad social situation, to say the least, and the animals at the shelter that are in a bad social situation. And the funny thing is, they need each other. They need each other to develop empathy, to work skills, etc. So it's exciting. We're looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, that's really what business owners are really all about, is giving back. And a lot of people don't realize that. They think that businesses are all about just making money, corporate greed.
Yeah.
And it's really not like that. More than ever, companies are giving back in all different ways. So this is like a fascinating thing to me. And I have, you see that commercial sometimes on TV about the dogs. I think it's the Humane Society. And it seems to be the longest commercial in history.
I know. She can't look at it. I got to change the channel when it comes on.
Does anybody actually sit and watch that commercial? Because I don't. I have to change the channel every time it comes on
You can't. I mean, we're big advocates, North Shore Animal, all that stuff. And we give to these charities because we really have a soft place in our heart for that stuff. And we have rescue dogs and they play a big role in your life, and you don't even realize it.
Right.
But
No, dogs are completely part of our social fiber now in terms of what they do for law enforcement. I mean, they're part of our lives, and they've changed our lives in a pretty significant way.
Yeah, when you think about the rescue dogs at 9/11 and the dogs in Afghanistan that they use.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely amazing to me.
And it's important, that our franchisees are very participants in the Houndstown charity. So, each location, each franchisee will partner up with local rescues in their area to offer discounted doggy daycare and boarding services for these dogs until they find foster homes. So it's important that they play a role in their local communities and to help, homeless dogs in need. And they have the option to choose different local rescues that they want to partner up with.
So do you have to be a total dog lover nut to own a Houndstown franchise?
No, in fact,
I think it's, obviously you have to like dogs, but, but I mean, I don't know anybody who doesn't like dogs. I question, whether, their level of humanity to begin with. So,
I agree.
To say I don't like dogs, I mean, you don't hear that too often.
Right.
So
people don't admit it, at least.
Right. And I guess, my daughter's one of them. She don't like the dog hair, but anyway. Yeah, so you don't you know in many ways it's like anything. You don't need to like you know, Big Macs to own a McDonald's. So
right.
So no, it's not it's certainly not a requirement, but it's nice. And of course, dogs are an emotional feature to our business, and it's a very different business when you look at all the different businesses out there. And there are components of it that fill other voids. Like I said, the charity to me is very rewarding to me. So maybe 15 years ago, when you are trying to make money, et cetera, it wasn't. But now it's a very important part of my life. In fact, I'm inspired more by the charity than I am by, in many cases.
Yeah, I can imagine. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Is there a myth about dogs that you could dispel?
Oh, yeah, completely.
There's so many, Tom.
Well, it's the stereotype. It's the, you know, so one of the things that separate us from almost all of our competitors, we don't discriminate by breed. So, of course, this is a controversial statement, but, you know, pit bulls, for example, we call it the P word. You know, you mentioned pit bulls. And, of course, they are responsible for some very horrific accidents. It's indisputable. But that's at the hands of the humans, not the dogs. So when pit bulls are brought onto this earth, when they're puppies, just like Irish setters or German shepherds or your shih tzus, the dog brain is identical. There's no difference. So the dog brain in your shih tzu is the same as that of a pit bull. It's not a different brain, just like in humans. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you're what nationality or religion you are. Your brain is identical. So we recognize that fact. So we don't breed discriminate. So to ask the biggest myth, dogs are dogs. So when people call me, even from behavioral stuff, they go into this whole background. I have a terrier, you know what they're like, and or I have a German shepherd, and you know what they're like. And I'm like, no, I really don't know. That's like me saying I have an Irish kid, you know what he's like, right? Or he's destined to be an alcoholic, whatever the stereotypes of humans. It's the same for dogs. So that is the biggest myth. And we capitalize on that because we simply do not breed discriminate. That doesn't mean we take any dog off the street that comes into our facilities. But just like a school, if they've passed the entrance test, which to us is they just sniff each other and like each other, they're fine. So that is a myth that is arguable because statistics will show that pit bulls are dangerous and deadly. And the fact is they are very strong, powerful animals and in the wrong hands. And if they're mismanaged, they create... they're dangerous, but all dogs are potentially dangerous.
Yeah, that is, I never heard that before, you know, you know how terriers are. Because I always thought that that's how it was, you know?
Yeah,
but no. I guess they're breeded, you know, that way. And so you talk about, like, certain dogs were bred, you know, hundreds or thousands of years ago by, like, the Japanese to protect the emperor and, you know, things like that. No,
and that is true. There is something to be said about that. But domestic dogs were bred from wolves. So, I mean, there is an evolution of that. But it's really what you do with that predisposition, that the dog. So they are bred and have genetic predispositions. But fundamentally, if you have an 8-week-old puppy or 12-week-old puppy, you can shape their behavior in any way you would like, for better or for worse. And unfortunately, in most part, the most well-intentioned pet owners don't understand the animal brain, and they just create a lot of confusion for them. They create drama. Dogs don't do... Yeah.
No, that's fantastic. I mean, that's just so enlightening for me, and I'm sure, you know, people listening are just, like me, fascinated by that. So what... You said that you really separate yourself from the competitors by that whole disposition. So is that something that you bring from your police experience, Mike?
Well, actually, you know, it's a funny thing. I've always connected to animals, and I didn't know why. But there's been research, very strong research now. So dogs are somewhat autistic, meaning that they see things differently. So they see the world not necessarily at like humans do, for sure. So they see the world more with their nose and ears than they do. Their senses are different, and they have a different emotional basis. So there's a woman, a doctor by the name of Temple Grandin, and she kind of decoded animal behavior because she's autistic. And as a child, she always just, and you'll know people that are listening right now, they'll say, I was always drawn to animals. I just liked them. They just comforted me in a way, and they understand them. So I just think that over the years, I'm kind of obsessed with dogs and the dog brain and dog behavior for the last 35 years. And I can identify, I can see kind of the world. Not that it sounds weird, but I do literally try and see the world as a dog does. It kind of in black and white. They don't see, they see the world black and white and usually 18 inches off the ground. And if people took the time, if you saw how weird your their world is like, if you go down on the ground, I mean, I used to do that when I drank heavily. Maybe this is where I first learned this. But if you literally get down on the ground, because our world is designed to be about 5 feet off the ground, right? Doorknobs, cabinets, everything, water, right. Everything is up in the air. And dogs are living, in your case, probably 6 inches off the ground in the case of a Shih Tzu. But most dogs are 18 inches off the ground, and they're always looking up at giants and looking for your hands. And so it's just it's such a simple thing for me to understand dog behavior compared to human behavior. Human behavior is very, very complicated, and dogs are so easy and simple.
Wow. Yeah, that's deep because I think you're right. You know, for me, I feel the same way. If you try to figure out your own psychology, I mean, you know, there's so many things that go into our socialization and the way we grow up. Mm-hmm. You know, what our parents did to us.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, psychologically.
psychologically. It's so mm-hmm. deep. But with dogs, you're right. It's black and white.
Well, their brain, if they don't, you know, most of our mental illness lies in our not to get technical, but in our neocortex, our executive brain. Dogs don't have that big mushroom cauliflower brain. They have a very simple brain. There's still emotions in there, et cetera. But they don't have neurosis. They don't have psychosis. That all lies in the human brain. So when people say my dog's crazy, the dog is not crazy. You might not understand particularly why the behaviors exist, but they're incapable of psychotic behavior.
One of my favorite teachers is Deepak Chopra. I don't know if you know Deepak.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So I once heard him say that, you know, the difference between a human and a dog is that, you know, a dog, you could beat that dog and then go see that dog 10 years later and it'll probably bite you. The difference between the human and the dog is that the dog did not contemplate for 10 years how it's going to attack you and meet you again.
Right.
That's so true.
That's completely true. And so, you know, so dogs are, to me, are very fascinating. Their brain, of course, we have that animal brain, except our human brain is on top of that.
Right. And that's what makes
That's what makes us good and bad.
That's what screws us up so badly. Oh, yeah, my God.
It's true.
It is true. So what trends do you see happening in the dog world now? Like, could you predict for 2017, 2018, are things going to be different, do you think?
Well, I know we were talking in the first half. I mentioned that a customer called yesterday and asked if we could throw a bar mitzvah for their dog. I think people are really just going to continue to like go down this road of humanization and wanting to celebrate milestones in their pets' lives. It's not just about bringing their dog to doggy daycare anymore. They want their dog to have an emotional experience when they bring the dog to doggy daycare. They want to celebrate their birthdays. They want to celebrate these things that are happening in their dog's life, holidays, and they want their pet to feel like they're part of a family. And, you know, at Houndstown, we really try and meet that need, mostly for the customer. But you know, we like to make the dogs feel like they're part of a family as well. And when they come through our doors, I think a lot of them really do. They recognize our staff. They love them. They see their friends there. It's really cool to watch them just be themselves and play. And I think really more of that. We get so many calls from people that kind of want to be part of this. It's like a doggy country club.
It's like a cult, actually.
Yeah,
so,
it's like a cult.
Yeah, so, and like Jackie said, but we provide real pack environments. So we take care of the dogs' needs, specifically their needs, which is to run around like a pack and have fun. Mm-hmm. And we address the human needs by allowing them to participate in our Valentine's parties, et cetera. But behind the scenes, we're really letting dogs be dogs. And they don't have that ability at home, very frankly. Your dog's at home. Dog's a dog. It's like putting fish in water. So when they come to our doggy daycare, they're dogs. So that's it's like, again, a fish swimming. So we allow them to be dogs. And they, as I said, they sniff each other's butts and they start humping and jumping and running around. And they're at the end of the day, they're physically and emotionally exhausted. And they go home and they sleep. And that's what our clients are paying for.
And it helps balance their lives out, actually.
Yeah, that's pretty much why my cousin would put her dog, because the dog would be awake all night. But every time she took her to doggy daycare, it slept like a baby.
Yeah. Right.
They fall asleep. Our customers laugh. They say that this is their final moment of energy leaving our lobby. But when they get in the car, they literally pass out. In fact, early on when the people started first coming, they thought we were like drugging the dogs because they never seen them sleep so much. So they didn't know what we were doing.
And now when customers get home, they'll post pictures of their dogs sleeping in bed. So now we've started this thing. We call it the Houndstown Hangover. So we'll post a dog on Facebook. If somebody, you know, posts their dog sleeping or something, we'll give somebody the title of the worst Houndstown Hangover for the day. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's funny.
That is pretty funny.
And the dogs are like, I mean, they're just completely
They're usually because they're running around for 12 hours a day. There's no way that you could provide that level of stimulation at home. You could walk the dog for 5 miles. It's not going to duplicate them running back and forth.
No, it's true. Except for my little Oliver, who was he was a puppy mill dog, and he lives in a cage, and he just runs around in circles all day in my kitchen. So it's not the same because I don't think he has that interaction, but literally he will run in a circle
stimulating himself,
for hours, just hours. I'm like,
and only to the left.
And only to the left.
Send him to Houndstown. We'll straighten him out.
Yeah, you'd be surprised at interacting with other dogs, how that, because that's kind of like a neurotic behavior. It's kind of like chasing its tail, and that's probably what happened as a result of being kenneled so long.
Yeah.
That they just need stimulus. It's like a prisoner at Papillon or something. They start walking in circles, and it's a neurotic behavior.
Yeah.
Usually started from chasing their shadow or their tail. And it became so intense.
I think he would do okay with other dogs if I wasn't there. But if I had him, he would not.
Absolutely.
He doesn't want other dogs near me.
Unfortunately, we sometimes tell the parents, the human parents, to just step outside and the light switch goes off. And once they leave, the dogs are perfectly fine. Oh, absolutely.
I know it's me. He just is very protective of me.
Absolutely.
And he doesn't want anybody near me.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah. Even me. It's weird. Yeah.
Even him.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So we're kind of winding down. I just wanted to get in some more information about Houndstown USA. You guys got a website?
Yes, we have a lot of websites, actually. Our corporate website for, you know, doggy daycare, boarding, all that good stuff is houndstownusa.com. And then we have a franchise website. That's houndstownfranchise.com. And then our charity website is houndstowncharities.org. And of course, we have, you know, can visit us on Facebook and
they're all
get linked
back
to any one of them.
Yeah,
right. They're all so
they're all connected.
Everything you wanted to know about doggy daycare and was afraid to ask you, we have every minutia of information on our websites in one form or another.
That's awesome. So when somebody gets involved with a franchise, they get to pick their own location and they could be wherever they want, right?
I mean, for the most part,
we assign territories.
We have some guidelines,
we're pretty liberal with territories. Absolutely.
Cool. Yeah. Well, this is bringing us to the close of our show, but I want to thank Mike and Jackie for coming out and talking with us about Houndstown USA.
We appreciate it.
No, it's my pleasure, my honor. You guys are doing great work with Man's Best Friend, we really appreciate it. And this is Tom Scarta, and this is the Franchise Radio Show. We're here every Tuesday night from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Catch us on the FranchiseRadioShow.com. And look forward to seeing you next week.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.